That story made the Birmingham Post Herald. It went all through the South, and the next weekend, all the famous coon hunters from all across the country come to Blount County, Alabama, to try and cut the trail that thing. From Conyers, Georgia, there was Gene Taylor and his dog Blue. There was Preacher Harris from Chattanooga and his dog Rex. But the most famous coon dog and the most famous coon hunter of them all come from Yazoo, Mississippi.
He did.
Marcel Ledbetter and Highball.
Himself.
Yes.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Dink Martin.
If you don't know Mr. Dink, you're fixing to, and you'll be blessed for it. He's a Blount County resident right here and a teacher, bivocational Baptist preacher, storyteller, which you're fixing to
stand
find
up
out.
Comedian.
All kinds of things. And I'm going to be honest, I'm going to tell a story real quick before we get started. So I went to Locust Fork Baptist Church Men Conference last week, and they were talking about the podcast. And one man asked me, he said, "Do you know Dennis Martin?" He said, "He is the best storyteller I've ever heard. And I want him on your podcast." And I said,
"Special request."
Okay. And I said, "Well, tell me a little bit about him." He said, "Well, he opened up for Jerry Clower back in the day." And I said, "So, I don't have any other questions. Would you call him right now?" And so that's what you're getting. So, Dink, you're welcome.
Thank you. I come from a long line of just my grandfather. When I was a little boy, I spent an awful lot of time with him. And he told me all kinds of stories. So that's where I kind of get it from. And then when we started traveling with my family, and somehow or another, I got to telling stories to my kids when we travel. And I'll never forget our first trip to the Grand Canyon. Now, y'all ever been to Grand Canyon?
I have.
It's a magnificent place.
That's the biggest ditch I've ever seen in my life. Well, anyway, we do the north rim of the Grand Canyon. You know, it's different than the southern. They ain't no rails up there to keep it from falling off down in there. Well, when we pull up, my three youngins, they jump out of that car and they go running right up to the edge of that thing and they stop and my heart stopped because
they going
a
off.
A mile down, man. Mm-hmm. I grabbed them little boogers. I grabbed them, throwed them in the back seat of that car, and we head off. Now, I want you to know, I do not whoop my children when I'm mad. It took me from there to somewhere in Mexico before I settled my nerves down. And they're in the back seat. Have you ever traveled with kids? Mm-hmm. Do you know they ain't got but three questions or three sentences? He said, "Are we there yet?" Mm-hmm. He's looking at me, and I got to go. Mm. That's all they know. Well, I had put up with that all I wanted to. We on this four-lane highway, cars going this way, cars going that way, and I pull off. And I go around, I open that door, and I start wearing them out from the biggest one to the littlest one. Cars going by, blowing their horns, shaking their fist at me. "Don't you do that." Well, finally, there's somebody hollering at me. Mm-hmm. And it's up on top of the hill. And I look up there, and there's a guy mowing his grass. And he said, "Hey, buddy, wear them out. You been to the Grand Canyon, haven't you?" So everybody knows them little heathens when they do that.
Yes, sir.
Well, but it was fun. We've been doing that for years, traveling with our family. But do y'all remember a preacher here in the county by the name of Drennan Aldridge?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Well, Drennan and I went to Chicago one time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was going up there. I was going to preach for a guy by the name of Larry Salter. Now, Larry, his church was on 103rd and Halstead. At that time, it was the number one area for crime in the United States of America. And they going to have me, a white boy, speaking to all black church. So we go in there, and it was we had a great time, but they're going to carry me and Drennan sightseeing. Now, I ain't never been to Chicago. Birmingham's the biggest place I've ever been. We go to the Sears Tower. Man, that's the biggest building I've seen in my life. So we go in, and they take us to this men's clothing store. I can't lack for a better word, but it's on one of them floors. Well, I walk in and I could tell right off the bat, these folks ain't country folks. Because this guy comes up and he says, may I help you? Mm-hmm. And I look at Drennan and he looks at me and he said, yeah, buddy, you can help us. My buddy here, he's looking for a navy blue blazer. Now, I'm thinking, Drennan, you sorry? So we go back and they got these navy blue blazers. I mean, just forever. Now, I was used to shopping at Ratliff's. Y'all know where Ratliff's is? It was in Blountsville. It was there. Well, they always had two or three suits, and you could choose whichever one you wanted according to the plaid that you look good in. That's my recognition of going shopping for a coat or suit. Well, this guy, he's putting these navy blue blazers on me, and man, this thing fit. I mean, like, there was an inch of my shirt sleeve sticking out. I could button the thing, and it didn't feel like I was going, if I took a breath, mm-hmm. I was going to pop a button. That thing fit. I mean, and Drennan, he's over there, oh, this thing looks so good.
Yeah.
Well, the guy looked at me and it said, sir, would you like to take it with you, or would you like for me to wrap it for you? And I looked at that guy. As I'm looking at the price tag on this navy blue blazer, $750 for a coat.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at that guy. I said, buddy, it's a wrong shade of navy blue.
Yeah, it's the wrong.
Yeah.
That's so, it's funny that you talked about that. When we were in Ohio, I went to when I was working with the railroad, and I had to have some new clothes because we were going to go to a conference. Well, I ain't never been to no conference. Blount County, I'm kind of like, are you talking about it? What is a conference, you know? Well, you're supposed to dress up, supposed to look presentable, you know? And so I said, all right, I'm going to go get me some new clothes. And I went to this men's clothing store in the mall. And it was, sure enough, howdy-tawdy, you know, better than you, as Jerry Clower would say, men's store. And I walked in there, and I thought, I'm going to look around. Well, I greeted right at the door. Come here, let me help you, sir. Let me get this blazer put on. Oh, you look, that looks fine right there. That is a good-looking suit. Oh, you need one of these to go with. By the time he was done, there was probably $1,500 or $1,700, $1,800 worth of new clothing there. And he said, would you like to, let's try this. You know, we got to take this up a little bit. And he's going to take it up and all. And I didn't know what to do. I was feeling a little bit over pressure, overstimulated. Hey, this is a little bit too much, yeah. You know. And I didn't know what to do other than say, okay, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes. Well, he's getting it all put together and got my sizes and all. And he said, hey, we'll have this stuff ready for you in a week. Well, I left, and he called me a week later, said, hey, sir, your stuff, side note, I had to pay for it before I left. You know, got to pay for it. Okay. He called me a week later, and the whole time I'm sweating, like, I don't need $1,800 worth of new clothing. Like, I don't want it. I didn't need it, but man, I just felt like I was just overwhelmed.
You look good.
I look good in it, and I had to have it, right? So I bought it. A week later goes by, and I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. I went in there a week later, and just so happened, I had gained a little weight over the week. And they didn't fit near as good as they should have. And I said, sir, for tailored clothing, this just ain't going to work. He said, well, what would you have me to do? I said, I think you should take every one of these back. I appreciate your business. And he said, we'll do that. They refunded my money and I walked out scot-free. I thought, ooh, Lord have mercy. I didn't know how I was going to get out of that $1,800.
Sort you of. Returned it all after they custom fit everything.
Returned every one of them, but it didn't fit properly.
God takes care of us fools. You know,
I guess he did. Well, it was in the middle of wintertime in Ohio. So, I mean, you're going to gain a little weight up there, you know, in the wintertime.
I learned that Beth and I are very different through a suit experience. We were dating for a little bit, and all of a sudden, so she's an Alabama girl. The University of Alabama girl.
I graduated from there. You fixing to say something derogatory to my alma mater?
No.
Okay.
I'm not talking about your tomato. She said, we're going to go to this party. I need you to wear your suit. And this is exactly how I looked at her.
My birthday suit? No.
Yeah. What kind of party are we going to? And she said, yeah, just wear your suit. I said, I don't own a suit. What are you talking about? She looked at me like I had just told her that the Lord had come back. She couldn't believe that I didn't have a suit. And she said, well, that's just not going to work. We've got to go get you a suit.
Yeah.
And so I was in my 20s before I ever even knew anything. And it's an experience like you're talking about. You go in there and this guy's with a chalk thing doing the whole, it's a whole thing.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
You said y'all like stories about panthers and pumas and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now then, y'all know where Lipty, Alabama's at? Liberty.
Liberty, Alabama.
Liberty, Alabama. Yeah. You know where Roll's at? And
right next to Roll.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. So I'm raised up in Liberty, Alabama. Now, then, my mom and daddy bought a farm there. So anyway, the Liberty, Highway 79 hadn't been paved yet. It was still a dirt road. So it's not paved yet. And Liberty was actually a community with a general store. It had a gin. It had a meal, and there was like about 10, 15 houses. There was a hotel there, believe it or not. And man, it was like what you would go back to the early 1900s. Now, there's an abandoned church pit in Liberty, Alabama. And it just happened to be the parking spot for all the lovers in the community. Mm. And what they'd do is pull in there and they'd back up against that wall and they'd watch the moon come up on the far side. But on this night, Bo Marsh and Drennan Aldridge, they sitting there in that thing. And also, whop, something hard landed on top of their Bo Marsh's convertible. And Bo and his date looked up into the eyes of a snarling, growling animal trying to claw its way through a huge gaping hole in the canvas top. Bo cranked the car, put it in gear, stomped the accelerator. The car leaped forward. He made a hard right-hand turn and flung that thing, whatever it was, into the bushes. Well, they go to the Frosty Freeze in Bluntsville and they're telling all their buddies about this thing they'd seen. Well, that become the talk of the town. Well, the next morning, me and my daddy had to go to Wendy Gibbs General Store to get some cottonseed and some Uanner. Well, as we're walking up the steps, there's them old men. I mean, they ain't ever done a day's work in their lives. Well, we're going up there, and one of them said, I don't know what that was, but it sounds like a wampus to me. Now, I stopped. Because I'd heard of a wampus. Mm-hmm. A wampus is half bobcat, half bear, and half something else. And it will eat every dog in Bunk County. I mean, these things is bad.
They're hungry.
They are that bad hungry. Well, somebody said, no, it wasn't no wampus. I don't know what it was, but they better get it out and get it out quick. Folks, let me tell you. That story made the Birmingham Post Herald. It went all through the South, and the next weekend, all the famous coon hunters from all across the country come to Blount County, Alabama to try and cut the trail of that thing. From Conyers, Georgia, there was Gene Taylor and his dog Blue. There was Preacher Harris from Chattanooga and his dog Rex. Mm-hmm. But the most famous coon dog and the most famous coon hunter of them all come from Yazoo, Mississippi.
Mm, he did.
Marcel Ledbetter and Highball.
Himself.
Yes. And I want you to know that them famous hunters and them famous dogs, they wouldn't hunt nothing. They would tuck them tails twixt their legs. They wouldn't hunt. And them hunters, they are kicking them, and they ain't hunting. Mm-hmm. Well, after that, that abandoned chert pit was pretty well abandoned. Until I decide I'm going to go find old Screamer myself. Well, I go to the hall closet, open my door, reach in and get my old single shot shotgun, break that thing open, reach up on the shelf, and I pull out me three number five shotgun shells.
That's all it's going to take.
Shove them down in the bill of my overalls, and I'm off. I walk out on the back porch, and I close that shotgun with a click, and then it happened. Hmm. Lord, you... All of a sudden, there was this rumble from under the house, and you could hear something go boogity, boomity, boomity, boomity. And all of a sudden, this cloud of dust come out from under the floor. And when the dust settled, there was Tex, my dog. Now, Tex was part German Shepherd, part Boxer Bulldog, and parts from some other undetermined origins. I seen old Tex whoop as many as five coon dogs and not even break a sweat. Well, we start walking up toward that chert pit, and we had to go in front of Wendy Gibbs' general store, and there all them old men was. They was just sitting there talking, and one of them said, "Hey, boy, where you going?" I stopped dead in my tracks. I kept a steady gaze on the road in front of me. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed old Tex, he sat down too, looked up at me, and as if, where are we going? "I'm a-going after old Screamer," I said. "That old wampus cat." And I heard them men laugh. And one of them said, "Boy, you'll be back here for night with your tail tucked between your legs." Well, when we got that chirp pit, it wasn't quite yet dark. So I sat down, leaned up again a persimmon tree. And old Tex, he sat down right there beside me. Well, sometime between there and when I woke up, the sun had gone down and the moon had come up. Now, it was a huge, huge moon. And there was these big old scattered clouds all over. Man, and it was really bright. I mean, it was like you could see it, just like daylight. But when that cloud would go between the earth and the moon, well, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Well, that cloud moved on by. And then me and Tex, we noticed something trickling down the trail that led to the top of the bluff. Roof, he was off. Man, he was gone, and I didn't know, "Oh, come here." And then all of a sudden, I mean, it was a fight like you ain't never heard. Tex had done locked up with that thing, and all of a sudden, it got quiet.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind's eye, that thing had killed my dog.
Eat Tex alive.
Yes. And I got so mad, I took that shotgun and I started going up that trail, and I'm about two-thirds of the way up when one of them clouds go between the earth and the moon, and it got so dark I couldn't see, and I stepped off the bluff, and I was falling. I reached out and grabbed a sprout, and there I hung between death below and heaven above. And I'm hanging there, shotgun to my side, and in my mind's eye, he's coming after me.
Here he comes.
Wampus cat's ahead in my way. I can, in my mind, I see his red, fiery, satanic eyes, his razor-sharp teeth, and in his claws, the flesh of my dog. I got so mad, I thumb-cock that shotgun. I pull that thing up, and I kaboom, shot in the direction of that old wampus cat. Whoa! I heard something. Well, the blast made that little sprout let go, and I slid down on my knees and on my chin, and when I hit that ground, I come up a running because he was after me. The wampus cat was chasing me now, and I was running faster than I'd ever run before. I reached down in my soul, and I pulled up speed and strength that I didn't know that I possessed, and I'm running faster and faster than any human being has ever run, but it's to no avail. He's behind me now. He's beside me now, and I look at him. It was Tex. Tex passed me. Then it come to me. There's something chasing Tex. It's the wampus cat. And I know for a fact The only thing he wants is the slowest one of the bunch. So I passed Tex, and he passed me. We did this 3, 4, 5 times before we got to the house. He run under the floor. I ran into the bedroom, fell into my bed where I replayed those night's events feverishly in my mind. Well, the next morning, they done got through eating breakfast, but my mama left me a biscuit with a piece of bacon, and I was eating that thing when I heard this out on the back porch, a metallic cling. What is that? Well, then in a few seconds, a cling. Well, I walked out there, and there sat my daddy on the back porch steps, and between his legs was my dog, Tex. And my daddy would rub his hand over Tex's chest. He would take a pair of tweezers, and he would pull something out, and he dropped it into a porcelain wash pan with a cling. And when I looked in there, I got sick at what I saw. Number 5 shot from a shotgun. I had done shot my own dog. Well, my daddy said, "Boy, can you tell me what happened?" I swole up with pride when I told him how I'd come face to face with old Screamer, how I'd bravely defended myself against that wampus cat that screamed at me. And he said, "Where's your shotgun?" I must have forgot about that. I said, "Daddy, I think it's up there in the church pit." He said, "Come on, let's go get it." Well, we get in the truck. Old Tex jumps up in the back. He always rode over there next to the passenger side, next to me. And when I reached up to pet him on the head, Tex walked to the other side of the bed of that truck, looked over his shoulder at me, said, "Don't you ever touch me again." Broke my heart. Well, as we go through Liberty, there them old men are. They ain't never done nothing in their life. We get to the church pit, and there's my shotgun. I pick it up, and we fixing to go back home. And my daddy tells me, "Son, I'm going to buy you an RC. There ain't no place to get RC except at Wendy Gibbs General Store.
Don't want
to
stop there.
No, all them old men. Well, as we get out of the truck, and I start going up them steps, Wendy Gibbs says, "Well, great white hunter, where's the prey?" And I look that old man in the eye, and I was fixing to give him what for when beep, 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 beep. All of a sudden, Ronald and Donald Jones, they in their daddy's pickup truck, they come sliding into the gas pump. Back in the 1950s, we only had one gas pump. And they come sliding and say, "Y'all, come here and look at what we got." Well, all them old men, me and my daddy, we all gather around the back of their pickup truck and look in, and there it lay. It's the biggest one I'd ever seen. "Where did you get it?" somebody asked him. Said, "We was going to hunt for the old wampus cat one more time." And we got to the top of the trail, and there he was, graveyard dead. And John Kasin picked up the head and wove it back and forth and said, "Whoa, something more meaner and powerful has broke this thing's neck." And then I looked over to the back of our pickup truck, and with his paws up on the side, there was my dog, Tex. He had gone to the top of that ridge to shut up old Screamer, that wampus cat, and he had done that. He was coming back to tell me what he'd done when I shot him. Now, that is the most exciting time I ever had as a teenage boy. I can't
imagine.
Yes. Now, listen, some people think that I tell the truth. Now, listen to me. There's the truth. There is the embellished truth. And then there is the truth that I make it up at the time. All three are truths. So it's up to them that heard that to figure out which truth I just told.
Which one is it?
Yes.
I got one question.
Yes.
That I think a lot of folks are going to have answered. What is Guyaner?
Man, that is fertilizer. Golly.
I knew what it was, but I don't think I don't know that our audience would know what Guyaner is.
Oh, man. I tell you what. Listen, when I was a kid, now, we got out of school for cotton picking, you know? But you know what? Summers, everybody talks, "Oh, it's bad to pick cotton. It's bad." No. Cotton picking wasn't nothing. It was chopping cotton that was bad. I mean, you had to do it barefooted. For a little old country boy, That ground's hot, and you got to chop that cotton in the hot sun. That ain't fun.
That ain't no fun.
No.
You say you had to do it barefoot. Is that because you just didn't have no shoes?
You had to save your shoes for school. I'm serious. We would pick cotton. Now, I got paid 3 cents a pound. That's what we would get paid. And all the kids in the community, like, we might go over here and work for Mr. Jones, and then we might work for the Martins, and then we might work for the Smiths, but we get paid 3 cents a pound. Mm-hmm. Well, you took that money, and when you went to Ratliff's before you started back to school the second time, that is when you bought your school clothes. You didn't buy them the first of school. You bought them after cotton picking. And listen, you talking about your britches a while ago. I would get one pair of britches, and I'd get a couple of shirts, underwear, and a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. And I paid for them, and my mom and daddy would pitch in, but I had to pay for them that stuff with my own money.
You had to pick or chop some cotton to get that.
You doggone right.
One question. Can you explain really quickly for those that may be wondering, what is chopping cotton?
That's hoeing cotton. Take a hoe. You try to go through there. Now, different people was different. Like, they would want you to just... When you would thin the cotton, they would want it the width of the hoe, which may be about 8 inches. Others wanted you to turn the hoe up and do it with the edge, which was about 4 inches. So that's how far apart the cotton would be. But never who is chopping the cotton or hoeing the cotton is the one that would determine the spread of that cotton.
My daddy has a saying. I think I've said it on this podcast before, but I don't know. Whenever some kid or some individual made poor life choices, they found themselves in a position that they shouldn't have been if they had too much time on their hands. My daddy would always say they didn't have a long enough row of okra to hoe. Or, in other words, their row of cotton wasn't long enough to chop. They didn't have enough cotton to chop. Basically saying, if you keep your hands busy doing something productive,
yes,
you're much less likely to get in trouble. And that's true. Idle hands.
That's true.
Preaching. Announced my call into the ministry. Oh, had my first church, and things were going pretty well. By that time, I'd already been telling stories, and I was going to storytelling festivals. But I'll never forget this. Somehow or another, I end up in Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm speaking to a bunch of preachers. I don't know how I got this gig. Well, I do too. I was a member of the Alabama Speakers Association, and that is how I got this gig. So I'm speaking to this bunch of Baptists, okay? So we there, and there's hundreds, and they introduced me. Now, I was pastoring at Westside Baptist Church in Cleveland, Alabama. So I'm introduced by this guy as Dr. Dennis Martin of Westside Baptist Church, which was one of the largest churches in Jacksonville, Florida. Well, I didn't correct the guy.
No need, did it?
No. Well, lo and behold, I get back to Blount County, and we're doing something, and one of the preachers from Blount County was in that bunch, and he come up and said, "Well, Dr. Martin, how are you doing?" I thought, "Oh, man. I like to never live that down."
Now, was your speaking engagement before or after lunch?
It was a dinner. I was there as the, I was a keynote speaker.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was the only way you kept them Baptists in your seat. Oh, they, yeah. Them knowing that they fixing to get supper after
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Well, now here you go. This, y'all know where the club's at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so
not that club.
Yeah, one up on the mountain.
I know both of them are.
Yeah, I do too.
Not
yeah.
50 Cent's club. Yeah.
So anyway, I get this call, and it is the Southeastern, the governors from the Southeast. They're meeting in Birmingham, Alabama, and Guy Hunt is the governor. Now, my daddy knowed Guy Hunt, so, you know, ain't no problem there. But anyway, I'm there, and I am supposed to be their after-dinner speaker, okay? Now then, so I don't want to drive my pickup truck, so I get in my Weiss Voyager. Y'all remember them old Plymouth Voyagers? Mm-hmm. So there I go, and I have to stand in line as the cars are making their way up to the door. And man, these Cadillacs and these all these fancy cars. And finally, I get up there in that little Plymouth Voyager, and a guy slung a door open, and I like to come out on him because And he was wanting to park my car. Well, I give him the keys in it. So I get out, I go in, and I do my thing. Well, we're coming back out, and I'm in line, and these guys would bring the cars around, and I'd see these folks slip them money, like a 20 or a 50 or something like that. Now, I probably ain't got more than $10 on me. Well, you can't give somebody like that $10. My card at that time looked like a $100 bill that was folded into a third. So I had my card. I slipped him where it looked like he was getting a $100 bill. That guy took that thing and shoved it in his pocket, and I come home. 3:00 in the morning, I get a phone call. Now, you a preacher. You got to get up and answer phone call 3:00 in the morning because they may be somebody deeming you right there, right then. Well, I get up and I answer that phone, and it ain't nobody I know. And he says, "Is this Dink Martin?" I said, "It is." I have never, look, I played college football. I know about cussing. I know how to cuss. I've been around sailors. But this guy cussed me like I ain't ever been cussed before. Because that was the guy I slipped the car to, and it wasn't $100 bill. Oh, my wife is still mad at me.
What's the old saying? They cuss you so bad the flies wouldn't even land.
Oh, yes. Golly.
It was your business card? Was this a business card that looked like a $100 bill?
Then it looked like a $100 bill. Now it's just a regular size business card because I got famous, you know. But anyway, it felt like paper. As a matter of fact, the guy that had the printing, had the print shop up here down there somewhere. I forget his name. He's the one printed them for me.
I just can't believe it had your information on it. I can't.
On the back side. Oh, okay.
So what did you expect he was going to do?
I'm stupid. What can I say? Didn't think this through.
Oh, man.
I got you.
Hey, buddy.
I got you.
Enjoy these. Don't spend it all in one spot, you know.
I did. Just because I'm college educated does not mean I'm smart.
Mr. Martin, that is a... That's a lot to process there. That's good.
I'll never forget Coach Green, Rodney Green, Superintendent of Education of Blount County
Schools.
I am going to tell y'all a tale on him now.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so we at Douglas, Alabama. We playing football up there. And he's the head coach. I'm an assistant. And something happened out on the field. So Coach Green's going to go out there, and he's going to set these officials straight, you know. So he's out there. He's bumping gums with the official. Well, that head linesman's right here in front of me. I mean, he ain't 2 feet from in front of me. And I'm unloading him. I said, you ain't worth 50. You the sorest official I ever seen in my life. And that guy turned around, pulled the flag out of his pocket, and throwed it down at my feet. Well, I shut up. But Connie Lowry was a coach. Yes. And he's on the sideline. He kicked that guy's flag. I mean, he just hauled off and kicked it. Well, he walked over there, picked it up, and he come back and he throwed it down at Connie's feet. Well, we shut up. About that time, out on the field, the flag goes high up in the yard where everybody can see it, comes down, and Coach Green, he's got a penalty out on the field. Well, they come back, and we're standing there, and Coach Green's over. He ain't happy. He ain't happy at all. They mark off 15 yards. Then they mark off another 15 yards. And Rodney is hot. What's going on? What are they doing? What are they doing? I said, Coach, settle down. Cunny got a penalty too. Mm-hmm. He didn't see him mark off the third 15 yards, which was...
You're talking to him during that
yeah,
time.
Yeah, see? So he can be distracted.
Was that one of those you when you said, Coach, they made you so mad, I wanted to make sure that they heard enough from me too. Making sure you know we're on your team, Coach.
Yeah. Oh, but we listen, my wife ain't going to see this probably. I hope not. But anyway, my son is on the team.
She might now.
So after the game, we win the game. After the game, we're standing outside the field house and the coaches and the wives and the kids are in there getting dressed. Well, this woman over there, she is just, yeah. But that number 25, he's the dirtiest. He's the sorriest, blah, 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 blah. Well, she's talking about my son. He was number 25. Now, y'all ever see my wife? Little bitty woman. I mean, she ain't but 5'2" and about as big around as my thumb. Might weigh 120 pounds if she's now. That little old woman, I have never seen her eyes look like that. I mean, it scared me. And her nostrils.
Flared out.
You ever seen you ever plowed a mule? When he's really pulling hard and his nostrils are flying.
Just pulling in some
nostrils
oxygen.
Are flying. And I have never seen these blood veins in her before. But I did that night. And she walked over to that woman. Oh, I thought she was going to punch her. And she, you are talking about my son. Well, I left. I couldn't. But they didn't get in a fight. My wife was real good. But I learned something. To this day, I have never crossed that woman. I have learned that two words is sufficient in my marriage. Yes, dear. Mm-hmm. Did you take out the garbage? Yes, dear. Did you sweep off a carport? Yes, dear. Don't matter if I did it or not. It's going to be yes, dear, because I don't want to see that face in that woman again.
Nobody wants to be a domestic victim.
No.
Keep your nostrils in check.
Yes, that's a good saying.
I want to do something real quick, just a quick little break. We've got these books sitting on the table, and I mentioned that you were a lot of things. An author is not one of them.
It is.
That I mentioned. And so we got two. Shane's got the other one there.
I got this one open and reading it.
So this one's Grandpa's Porch Swing Stories, Tall Tales of Southern Humor and Folklore. From the story man, Dennis Dink Martin. So that's one of them. What's the name of that one?
Colton's Adventures Back in Time with Pop, Stories of Southern History, Human Humor, and Folklore from Mr. Dennis Dink Martin.
So we got these two, and we'll put a link in there on Amazon. Let them see if they can buy 10 or 20 of these things.
Hey.
Buy one for everybody they know.
Read over a few of these and give them, I think these, that's exactly where I was opened up to. Give us a few of those coaches, Coach Martin's philosophy.
Okie dokie. So this hung on my classroom wall. I had it made into a poster, maybe 18 by 24. You know, where my kids could see it. They saw it every day. But this hung there for the whole time that I taught school. Nobody owes you a living. What you achieve or fail to achieve in your lifetime. When I wrote this, I had been interviewed for a job in Rome, Georgia, as their football coach. And the principal in the interview asked me what my philosophy was. Well, I didn't know. I couldn't even spell philosophy. I didn't know what he was talking. Anyway, so I come home and I'm sitting at my desk studying for a sermon, and it came to me. So I began to write down
some philosophies.
as I felt like I was being led.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where this comes from. So I do get emotional because, let me tell you something.
You better be when it's a philosophy.
When I played football, you couldn't make me cry. I was the meanest son of a gun on the field. There was a switch would go off. I was an animal. I didn't get saved. I was 19 years old. From that time, the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
that indwells in me has his way. And sometimes I get pretty emotional when I think about the relationship that I have with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, that part of God that indwells within me. And it is that part that is in me that when I talk to my Heavenly Father, the Creator of whose image I am made in, sometimes that Spirit comes through and it gives you what you need to say and how you need to say it.
Softened some things in there, didn't it?
It sure did.
Yeah.
It sure did. Yeah.
We all got to be thankful for that, because that old hard heart got softened up.
It did. And let me tell you, when I got saved and I announced my call into the ministry. So the two guys that I ran around with, well, there were several guys I ran around with in Jacksonville. One of them was Larry Pruitt. He was an All-State from Troy, Alabama. Gene Taylor was an All-State from Conyers, Georgia. Jimmy Champion, Pop Champion, was All-American, a two-year All-American at Jacksonville. These are the people I ran around with. When I announced my call into the ministry, I'll never forget one of them said, well, I tell you one thing, he ought to be a good one because nobody know more about sin than him. So that's how I ended up. But here you go. I'm going to try it without.
It's all right. You get where you get, buddy. I think they're good ones. I think folks need to hear it.
Can I back up on that? It's going to be 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Huh?
Get your wallet out.
Hey, we all got to admit our own faults and failures from time to time.
Yeah, you better know it.
Let's set that. Let's explain that.
Okay.
Before we started, you asked me, how long are we going to record? I said, well, I've recorded from 30 minutes to an hour and 20. And you said, we ain't going to go a minute over 45. And I said, are you a betting man?
And I told him, don't take that bet, because we're going to start having fun. And before you know it, we're going to be an hour in.
Well,
here we are.
Look, I'm going. I don't know if you can see this right here or not. When I would do a show, when I would go somewhere, I would write down what it is I wanted to say so I would stay on track. Because as a Baptist preacher, they ain't never been on track.
No.
If you don't have some notes, son, you will go down every rabbit hole that was ever done. But anyway, I would do that, and there are probably 12 cards here.
Mm-hmm.
These are from 12 different shows of stuff that I've told. But anyway, question was, read from your philosophy.
Yeah.
Nobody owes you a living. What you achieve or fail to achieve in your lifetime is going to be directly related to how hard you choose to work or you choose not to work. Now, nobody chooses his parents and nobody chooses their childhood, but each and every person can choose their own life's direction. And I realize that everyone has problems and they have obstacles to overcome, but that's just relevant to who you are. Now then, there is nothing for your life that is carved or that is set in stone. You can change anything in your life if you want to badly enough. And those who do not make those positive changes will make excuses throughout their life. Now then, those that do take those responsibilities, you look and see if they're not the real winners in life, if they're not successful, because they're going to meet those problems head on. And never think it's too early or too late to make those positive changes in your life, because time plays no favorites and it will pass you by whether you act or not. If I had any advice for young people, it would be to choose your friends carefully. Mm-hmm. Those you surround yourself with are a reflection of who you are and of what you will become. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Take control of your life. Believe in God. Put your faith in Christ. Believe and have faith in yourself. And when you're an old man, you will be successful.
I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. But this little show that we do is just something that we do for fun. It's just doing what we've, like you said, my great-grandparents told me stories and grandparents and so on and so forth. And I take it for granted. Always took it for granted. Even though I loved it and appreciate it, I'm not saying that. I just thought that was what everybody got.
Oh, that's what everybody did.
They didn't.
But looking at the comments of people that find the show, whether it be however, some of them are just enamored that this is what, this is common. This is what we do. This is what we've done. And there's a real beauty in it. And then there's people, probably the most heartfelt things are those that have lost their favorite storytellers in their life. And they listen to people like you come on here and tell stories, and it gives them a little window, a little glimpse back into something they've missed for however many years. They said, this guy sounds just like my grandfather, this guy. And it just brings joy to
just like my uncle that used to set me down. Man, that's so many comments.
And that's powerful to us. We're humbled by being able to bring that back, I guess, in some way. So Jerry Clower, we got questions.
Okay.
How did you meet Jerry Clower? In my opinion, outside of my family, the greatest storyteller that's ever lived.
No, without a doubt.
How did you meet him?
Met him in Jonesboro, Tennessee at the Knapp Storytelling Convention. I was telling stories there. You know, they pull from all over the country, but I was telling stories, and Jerry Clower was going to, was the big show for that night. Well, they always want a warm-up act or somebody to, basically your job is to go out there and tell people, shut up, be quiet, here he comes. I mean, and if you got a story or two to tell, you tell them. Well, so I did. That is how I got hooked up. Well, from that point, now, you know, he had a program. He had a radio program called Country Crossroads. And he would have lots of people on there. Well, by this time, I have determined that I need to raise my family needs more money than what I'm making doing this. Does that make sense? So by now, I'm already got a job and working to support my family because, hey, look, you make $1,000 here, well, you're going to spend it time you get back home. But anyway, so anytime he was in the area, I would get to open for Jerry Clower. They remembered me, and I don't know if his name was Tandy Rice or whoever his manager was. Anyway, I would get contacted to, you know, to go and warm up the thing. And then when I made the run for the house seat, it just worked out that we were able to get him to come and do a show here in Blount County to help raise money for the campaign.
What a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Clower in Blount County.
Yeah, hey, he was. He did a great job. And listen, let me tell you something. That man was loyal to whoever he was advertised for. He advertised for Dodge trucks. He drove nothing but a Dodge pickup truck. I mean, he come from Mississippi. He drove that old Dodge truck all the way up.
One of his funniest stories is telling about taking care of Mama. Got that Mama new ride. Got to take care of Mama. I can't
remember. Homer Lane. He had three daughters, and I can't think of their names now. But anyway, he was what he was. I mean, he was no different off stage than on stage. When he met someone, he meant it. Mm-hmm. He loved my cousin, Rusty. And this is a true story. So Rutten, actually, I had to raise my hand. You know,
I'm trying to decide it's one or two or three. Which kind of true it is?
Yes. The truth, embellished truth, or the truth as I make it up. But anyway, Rusty worked for a delivery company. And this woman, they were supposed to deliver a dog to this woman. And Rusty's looking on the thing, and he looks in the cage, and the dog's dead. I mean, it's in the cage. It's dead. It flew in on the airplane, and he's supposed to take. Well, he knows the people he's working for is fixing to be sued. The airline is because the dog's dead. Rusty went to every pound around. Everywhere. He found a dog. It was a spitting image of this dog. So he takes the collar off of the dead dog, puts it on the live dog, puts the dog in the cage, and delivers the dog to the woman. So he knocks on the door and says, "Miss so-and-so, yes." He said, "Well, I've got your dog here." She looks down and said, "That ain't my dog." And I said, "Oh, man." She didn't even look at it long enough. He said, "Ma'am, you sure this ain't your dog?" She said, "I know that ain't my dog because my dog was dead."
What? Wow.
So that's the kind of stuff Jerry Clower liked.
Oh, man. He made amends when no amends was needed. That's awesome. Well, we've gotten a good response from the scripture time. We've added this. I don't know how many weeks ago it was, and I got a couple of messages this week thanking us for it.
Good deal.
So I'm thankful to have just a moment. So I'm going to look at this real quick. So it's Ephesians 1:18. It says, so Paul's praying for the Ephesians. He's just told them that he's thankful for them. And then he prays this for them. This is what he wants. Three things. He says, "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And then lastly, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power." Amen. So you spoke of the hope. He spoke of the three things, and that's the hope of the calling. Very simply, if God has called you himself, you can have hope because he is the one who can give you salvation. Yes. So if he's called, he's give you salvation, eternal life, just like you talked about. And then the second one, that you may know that you're the what are the riches of the glory of the saints. And so we are God's glory. We're not glorious. But because we are his, because we've been given the gift of righteousness of his son, we are his glory. And what I challenge the congregation with is, since you are God's glory, shouldn't we seek to be more glorious every day? Yes. Since we're considered to be the all creator's glory. And then lastly, that exceeding greatness of his power. That is what is available to a believer. The unlimited power of God, not in a weird way, it aligning with his will. I'm not speaking out to turn. But do we think on those things? Do we think that as believers, that's the kind of power, that's the kind of hope that we have? And if not, I think we should spend more time.
Stand up and gird yourself like a man.
Stand up and gird yourself and consider the power of God and the power of God that's available to believers.
Your powder's wet. Listen, I didn't tell you this, but there is a new book coming out probably a couple more months. It is not like this. The title of the book is The Wedding. And when I told you I was educated beyond my intelligence, I kind of am. What I've done within a Jewish wedding, ancient Jewish wedding, there are 15 steps. And I've taken those 15 steps in a Jewish wedding and have compared them to Jesus Christ and his second coming. And Jesus fulfills with his coming every step that is within a Jewish wedding. And I hope that comes out. It's just the editors now, so who knows?
Well, let us know. In the meantime, let's do the word game and we'll say our bye-byes for episode, what should be, 91. You're the honorary guest. You start first. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's let him take a deep breath. He failed last week.
One word. Greg, you messed me up.
I can see that. Greg Armstrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he started with Blount County.
Yeah.
It's two words.
Two words.
All right. Let us know when you're ready.
Ready. Lord.
Ready.
Be.
Thou.
King.
Forever.
And.
I'll.
Be
able
to
glorify
you
forever.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, that's one. We're going to do at least one more. That was good.
Well, it took me a while to catch up.
Yeah, there you go.
No, you didn't. No, you were doing really, you think you did better than us.
Did I go first, second, third?
You're the honorary guest. You're going to get to go first both times.
Oh, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Pitcher.
Please.
Don't.
Show.
Me.
Those.
Things
because
I
not
I don't know how to follow that. I don't know how to follow I'll take that one. So I'll take that one off the chin. Well, man, Mr. Dink, great stories.
It was a pleasure to be with you. It really was.
It was an honor. I mean, we called you Thursday. You're here Saturday. You honored us with just being here today.
Being available.
You didn't even know who we were, and you said, I think I'm going to do
it. Well, I kind of knew who you were because I am your moderator of your association.
Baptist Association, Friendship Baptist Association,
yes.
You're the newly voluntold moderator.
There you go.
Did you get nominated by when you went to the bathroom?
No. Let me tell you something. Steve Sellers,
when
he came in, he was going to try to right the ship, so to speak, and he called me. Now, Steve and I started out preaching the same time. He was at Port Philadelphia, and I was at Cleveland at West. We've been friends close, and he called me, and he snookered me into that thing.
That's him. I know that was Steve Sellers.
Yes.
That's what he does.
You feel like you're guilty if you don't.
He could sell ketchup to a lady in white gloves. Ketchup popsicle. Lady in white gloves.
Speaking of selling ketchup to ladies in white gloves, why don't you turn around and show folks that shirt you got on there?
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the...
got to get up here close to him.
I'm going to put it out. Maybe I can zoom in the camera. So there it is. Hayden Outbound Podcast with a little tractor on the front.
And then you have to tell them if they can see the back.
I can see it. You step out here in the plow dirt, as Reverend Robin Risher says.
Well, that's going to do it for this week at the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
Hey, I'm Dean Martin.
We'll see you guys next week.